Well, good morning, everybody. I know we've talked before now, but just wanted to greet you formally there. It's great to be here with you today and jump into the second week of our series called Let There Be Light. And we're talking about this image, this biblical image through the scriptures of light and the power and the beauty of light. And it's funny, you know, on a day like today, with the sun out a little bit, the blue sky, and it's above freezing. It's like you feel what light does to you, right? Light is something more than just, oh, I can see things now because there's so much light out. It's also, it creates a feeling within you, right? It's the same feeling that, you know, when we finally got our Christmas tree up and Christmas tree lights up this week. It's been a busy time. And finally got that taken care of. And my kids just, you know, you're drawn to it, right? It draws you in. You want to look at it. You want to just, and it makes you feel certain things. It's either you can change the whole mood of a situation with the lighting. You can evoke different emotions. Got those words mixed up a little bit. But the lighting is, in fact, one example, we just got some new LED light bulbs. We have these little halogen lights that you can kind of move around a little bit. And instead of the halogens, the couple of the halogen lights burned out. So we ordered some Amazon LED bulb replacements, and I specifically ordered the warm white lights, not the bright daylight lights, because, in fact, Brandon just gave me a big smile from the tech booth. If you want to have a long, detailed conversation about light and the different things that light does, talk to Brandon. He's back there. He knows a lot about light and the different Kelvin colors or whatever and all the different things. He's got all that information. He could talk to you about that for a good hour. I've had long conversations with him about it. Anyway. Light can make you feel certain things, right? Light changes, you know. In fact, we have this thing. It's the saddest acronym ever. It's literally SAD, right? Seasonal affective disorder, where during the winter time when we get less sunlight, people feel this sense of kind of sadness and where you just don't feel as good emotionally when the lights change. And so they have something they call happy lights, you know, where you can have the light shine onto your face and give you those wavelengths and things like that. And it's interesting how powerful light is and how it can make you feel different things. I find that fascinating. And beyond just this kind of emotional sense of how light can evoke different emotions and things like that, it also is a symbol. And it's a powerful symbol in Scripture. And if you read through the Bible and see these different examples of the way that light is brought out and fire and all of these examples through Scripture of the symbolism and the symbolic nature spiritually of light. There's this idea of illumination, like being able to see and walk down the path. There's the pillar of fire in the Old Testament, which we're actually going to be there in just a few moments. Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 to 22. We're going to be in three different passages of Scripture today, one in the Old Testament, two in the New Testament. But we see this example of the pillar of fire. We see Jesus saying this statement, "I am the light of the world." That's another passage we'll be looking at in a few moments. But during this darkest time of the year where we begin to light up our homes with Christmas lights and we rely on the street lights a little bit more than we do at other times of the year, we're exploring this biblical image of light through the Bible to kind of lead us down towards our Christmas Eve celebration. The title of the series is Let There Be Light. We started out last week talking about those words in the Bible, where those words are used, where Jesus, or where the Father, God the Father says, "Let there be light." And the most amazing thing happened. There was light. None of us has that creative a power where our words create things. Our words create worlds the way God's did. When he said, "Let there be light," there was light. We said the profound thing about that statement, not only is, I mean, you could just ponder that for hours and days and days, and I think to some extent we'll ponder that in eternity and kind of mine the depths of what that means and how significant it is that God can create with his words. But when the New Testament is looking for a way of describing what God does in the heart of every human who comes to Jesus, say, well, let's think about this. Let's talk about the same God who said, "Let light shine in the darkness," has shone in our hearts. The Apostle Paul teaches that, and we looked at that passage last week. That same God, that same creative power, not only the one that said, "Let there be light," and there was light in the world, he's saying, "Let there be light on an individual basis to each and every person who comes to him. Let there be light in their hearts. Let them have this creative power. And God's words create new life and light in people's hearts. And it's an amazing thing. So we started out last week talking about that. Today we hit the fast forward button in the Bible a little bit, and we get to the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 to 22. And we're going to jump around. If you are new to our church, we typically stay in kind of one passage of scripture for the most part. Today's going to be a little bit different because we're going to try to trace this theme. We're looking to trace a theme, and we're going to look at passages that might seem disconnected at first glance, but we're going to see how connected they are in a really cool way. So Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 to 22. So this is the story of the Exodus. If you are not familiar with the Bible at all, but you've seen the movie Prince of Egypt, you know the story. This is the children of Israel being led out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And they had gone to Egypt to escape a famine, but things changed, and they were valued guests at one point. Their nation began to grow and expand, and they were looked upon as a threat, and they were enslaved. And they were this entire people group whose life was brutal and whose life was made up of just doing the bidding of the people who had power over them. And they were stronger. They had armies. They had the ability to put them in this slavery lifestyle. And so this is what their life was for years, 400 years. And now these years pass, and generation after generation has grown up knowing only slavery. And God comes through for them in this incredible and a series of miraculous events through Moses and the plagues, the 10 plagues, and leads Israel free, his people. Go free. And they actually take possessions and items, and they go from, there's this great reversal, this great moment where they go from being in brutal poverty and slavery to now having wealth, having possessions. And they're going free, and they're being led towards the promised land. And I want you to see how God led his people. Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 to 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way. And by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. They're in a wilderness kind of setting. They're traveling through, if you look on a map, that where they would have traveled from Egypt to the promised land is wilderness and desert and kind of the Arabic peninsula and not a place that's real pleasant as far as looking for water and looking for, you know, food and things like that. And they certainly brought some possessions with them and had some reserves. But this is thousands and thousands of people, maybe as many as a million people, traveling through the wilderness. And God gave them this guide. God gave them this visual symbol, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And imagine that for a moment, just the brightness that would come, the warmth that would come on the cold desert night from a pillar of fire in the sky, a visual representation of the presence of God. And if you can use your imagination a little bit, you can imagine how that would make you feel to be one of those people there. This pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, this fire that would light up the night for them so they could see, so they could travel, it meant protection. It meant God's presence. It was an example of his power. It was an example of direction. Like, which way do we go? I think we should follow the pillar that's going. Let's go that way, right? And think about this moment like, hey, is God really with us? Is God really on our side? I know we're supposed to be God's people. Moses says that. Moses said that we are God's people. He's leading us to God's place, the promised land. And there's this, I know he said all that, but how do we know that God is really with us? And I imagine someone going, right? Like there's a giant pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. God's holiness and this presence, there he is, right? That we know God's with us. He is with his people. He is protecting his people. And we see in the story of the Red Sea where they're escaping through the Red Sea that the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire created a barrier. You know, fire at night and cloud by day and keeping the Egyptian army away from them long enough for them to be able to make it across the Red Sea. How do we know God's with us? Boom, look at that, right? And I think about, you know, just even the fact that it was a pillar, that it was something tall, that they could look up and see it for miles around, you know. When I was in middle school, I was very tall. Like, I started growing. I remember being like 5'7", and I remember being 6 foot. And I remember being, I don't remember being 5'8", 5'9", 5'10". It was just like really fast, and like my poor parents buying clothes for me during that time, you know. Just grew very fast. And I remember being very awkward and very uncomfortable with my height. I remember being like, kind of hunching over, and I was very, very thin. I don't have that problem now, you know, but I was, you know, just kind of uncomfortable with myself, you know, just how tall I was and kind of gangly or whatever. That's how I felt. And at the time, like, I thought it was maybe cool. I liked basketball. Being tall is good in basketball. But it was something that I wasn't entirely comfortable with. But then I became a parent, you know, years later. I grew comfortable with it between now and then as well. But being tall is very helpful as a dad. My parents, my kids can spot me, you know. They're like, where's my dad? And oh, there he is, you know. And I think about that in a similar way with the pillar of cloud, right? Where is God? Where is God's presence? The pillar of fire, where is God? You look up just a little bit and look above the things that might distract you just a little bit, and you see, there's God. There's God's presence. John 8, verse 12. This is going to seem disconnected at first, and I hope to make the connection for you. John 8, verse 12 is our next verse that we're going to look at today. And then we'll be in Matthew 5, if you want to put finger in the Bible there for when we get there or something like that. Put your thumb on that one. We'll be there shortly. Matthew 5, John 8, then Matthew 5. And we're done with Exodus 13 for right now. John 8, verse 12, this is a recording of Jesus teaching. And Jesus is speaking to a group of people. He's speaking to a crowd. It says this, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He repeats this in the next chapter, actually a passage we were looking at just a few weeks ago where Jesus is healing a blind man. The statement, I am the light of the world. And enabling someone to not have to walk in darkness, but to have the light of life. And when Jesus makes this statement, we find some significance in that. In fact, this idea of Christmas lights, and John really is the one who explores the spiritual imagery, the spiritual metaphor of light, and talks about the spiritual significance of it more than the other gospel writers. And in John 1 is kind of how we end the service each week through Advent, talking about the light that has come into this world, the darkness cannot overcome it. And we find great meaning in that. The idea that Jesus is the light of the world, that Jesus brings light where there is darkness. Where people are stumbling around and cannot see, Jesus brings light into the human heart, right? Jesus, we talked about that last week. Let there be light. God said that to me in my heart. Let there be light. He said that to you, for those of you who are followers of Christ, that he said, let there be light, let there be light. And he illuminated, and then you could see. And you had, in a spiritual sense, something like the pillar of fire in your heart at that point, where you now had light to be able to navigate through. You had the presence of God with you in a way that you did not have before. And Tim Keller points out that when Jesus says this, Jesus saying, I am the light of the world, it's like Jesus is saying, I am the sun. And we know the Son of God, we're used to saying that. I'm talking about the sun in the sky. Jesus is like, he's saying, I am the light of the world. I am what brings light to the whole world. I'm like the sun in the sky. And Tim Keller says that every other prophet, almost every other religious leader, before or after Jesus, says something to the effect of, I am the moon. In other words, there is this great truth, or there is this great God, and I am the prophet that is here to tell you about that. I reflect the light off of this great source of light, but I'm not the source of light. I'm the one who reflects it to you. I bring the teachings of this great truth or this great God or whoever it is, and I reflect that off of you, off of that to myself, to you. Like, I'm the moon. I just reflect the light. Jesus says something totally different, totally unique. It is that he is the light. He himself brings light to people who are living in darkness. He himself is the light and the source of light. So as Christians, this is something that we believe very strongly, that Jesus is the one who is the light of the world. And if we can get people looking his direction, it will change everything. If we can lift Jesus high so all people can see his light, that's transformative. And we want to do that in our own hearts and lives and in the lives of people that don't know Jesus yet. But there's a deeper level of significance to what Jesus is saying here. Another whole level here of where you're tracing this idea of light through the Bible. What Jesus is saying here, I am the light of the world, is connected to that story in Exodus that we read. It might not seem like that at first. There's this pillar of fire, and that sounds significant, but Jesus stands up and says, I am the light of the world. The significance comes when you consider when and where Jesus said these words. There's a feast. There's this festival called the Feast of Tabernacles, and we see if you flip back just a few verses that Jesus is speaking at during the Feast of Booths, which is another way, if you know, so the header things in your Bible might say that he was talking about the Feast of Booths. Mine does at the beginning of John 7. It's called either the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was this festival that would remember the events in the book of Exodus. It was a way built into the culture of Israel where they would have these times on their calendar, on their year, where things would be different. You know, we have all these normal weeks, but this week is totally different. In fact, it was an 8-day feast that was all about celebration and joy, and they would dance a lot. There would be music. There would be celebrations that would go on into the evenings. And it was a big theme for this festival was light. And in fact, I have a picture this is an artist's rendering of the way that light would take a physical manifestation of during this festival. They had giant pillars, like multiple torches that would be in the courtyard of the temple at Jerusalem. And it was like 7-8 stories tall, very tall torches that would take gallons of oil to burn. And they would light these torches up, and they would light up the city. So the city of Jerusalem would be lit up, and you could see it from something like 20 to 40 miles in any direction. If you look and scan the horizon, if you're somewhere where you could see, you would be able to see the light coming from Jerusalem. And historians tell us that it would light up the city, that the light would reflect off of the temple, and it would just go throughout the whole city. So there was this significance of this thing, and guess what those torches represented? The pillar of fire. It was to remember the way God provided for his people and remember the way that God lit up the wilderness for his people at nighttime. And they would have the light from those torches would light up the celebration time, and it was this time of joy, and that was where Jesus chose and when Jesus chose to make this statement about himself, that I am the light of the world. It's the same way that those torches provided light for the city, in the same way the pillar of fire provided a sense of God's presence, that God is with us, and we can point to that and say, he's here with us. We as Christians can now point to Jesus and say, Jesus is like that for me. If I point to, you know, how do you know God is with us? Well, I know because of God's word, and I know because of the way that God is helping me grow, and I know because of what he's done in my life. That's what I point to now. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus takes this to a different level because he points to his followers and he says, you are the light of the world, that God's people will be the light of the world. And then he says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. That's in Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. So it goes from this thing where the pillar of fire is something awesome and amazing and guides and protects, and you can point to it and say, God is with us. Look, because I can point at the pillar of fire. It's right there. Like, God's with us. Now Jesus is saying, identifying himself with that and saying he came to bring light to the world. And then another step he points to is people. He says, you are the light of the world. And so like the pillar that lit up the wilderness, God wants his people to be like that. God wants his people to point to him and to illuminate a dark world. So we can't point to a pillar of fire. I wish I could do that. There's days where I really wish I had a pillar of fire that I could point to say, this has been a dark day, but I know God's with me because there's a giant pillar of fire that's with me wherever I go, right? Wouldn't that be nice? That might cause problems sometimes. I don't know. There might be situations where that wouldn't be great. But I think in general, to know that God's presence is with us in this real physical and tangible way that you can point to. He's right. He's here. Jesus says he is that. He is that. And it's not as visible, perhaps, but it is personal. And it is something that is a personal God, that we can have this relationship with the personal God who is with us. And we maybe can't point to something outside of ourselves, but we can point to something inside of ourselves, that Jesus is with me, and he is the light of the world, and I have him with me. And then he says that I am now the light of the world as well. And I play that role of pointing towards God and pointing towards his provision and pointing towards his protection and his direction and all those things that pillar of fire did in the wilderness. And I want to task you with this challenge. If you are a follower of Christ this morning, I want you to be that for other people. Because there are people who cannot see. There are people walking in darkness. And they need you to point the way for them. And there are followers of Christ, there's brothers and sisters in Christ that you have who are discouraged. And they need you to be like that pillar of fire for them that reminds them that God is with them, that God has not forgotten them, that God knows what they're struggling with. And you get to be a person that represents in a physical way the spiritual reality of the light of the world that we carry with us, that we have as a part of our life, and that we direct that towards other people. And I can think of example after example where I've had a brother or sister in Christ be that for me, where I've been discouraged or I've been having a hard time and I just feel like God's sending people my way to be the light of the world for me, to be like that pillar of fire. They're not a pillar of fire, they're a person, but they're in a physical way to represent God to me, like that light of the world and like that pillar of fire that the people had in the book of Exodus. Would you think for just a moment as we close in prayer, is there someone that you need to be like that for, that you should be a pillar of fire, represent the cause of Christ, represent the message of Jesus, the truth, the encouragement, the direction? We all know people, of course, who don't know Jesus. For them, we want to be that. We want to be that person that directs them towards Christ, brings them in and shows the light in some way. I'm not saying that you have to be perfect to do this. But I'm saying the Spirit of God in you and Christ's presence in you, if you're a follower of Jesus, should enable us to be that for other people, to be that physical representation of Jesus for people, the light of the world. And for those of you who are not followers of Jesus this morning, I invite you into the family. I invite you to experience that personally. I invite you to, in a spiritual sense, invite God to say, let there be light in your heart and give you new life. Bible tells us we receive that by faith. It's a gift of God. God's waiting to give it to us. We trust in what Jesus has done on the cross, and we take a step towards Jesus and receive the gift that's being held out for us. And then there's the creative and powerful work of God that's like God saying, let there be light. And we become a new creation. The Bible says something brand new begins in our hearts. So I invite you to do that this morning if you have yet to put your faith in Christ. If you have questions about that or want to talk more about that or want to be guided through that more, I'd love to talk with you after the service. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful that we can have your truths of Scripture, this idea of being the light of the world. What a beautiful image. What an incredible concept for us. It's so deeply meaningful. And I thank you for this image through the book of Exodus and into the New Testament with Jesus saying that he is the light of the world and then tasking his people with that. Because we have you, we can also be lights of the world. So Lord, may we represent you. May we experience that light in our own hearts and lives. I know that people are experiencing lots of different things right now in their lives and going through their own unique challenges. And Lord, I pray that they might know that you are there with them. You want to be there with them. And that you are with them in ways that they don't even recognize yet. So like the pillar of fire in the wilderness guiding your people, Lord, you want to guide us as well, and you want to illuminate our hearts and let us see what's real and what's true and what matters the most. And Lord, there are dimmer lights out there. There are lights that distract us. There are lights that tempt us. There are lights that pull us away. And we are easily distracted. But Lord, may we focus on what is real and what is true. We want to lift you high in our lives and in our and may we be that kind of light that represents you well. I thank you for this opportunity to be with you today, Lord. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.